Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody listening to the Independent Corner. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and here with me tonight is Chris Seaver of Low Budget Pictures. How you doing, Chris?
I'm sick.
Everybody's been getting sick recently, so.
Yes. It's not swine flu.
It's not swine flu?
No.
Are you sure you checked it out?
At least I hope it's not swine flu.
I'm pretty sure you wouldn't be on the show if it were swine flu.
No, I just got a cold. You can hear it in my voice. I got a little head cold.
Oh, it's okay. I had a head cold just recently, so it happens. Chris, I guess, because
yes,
we've had a lot of, we've had you on the show a lot recently, but we've been having a lot of new people checking out the show and listening in. So just tell people a little bit about yourself and how you got started.
Well, I'll try to do a fast version. I've been making low-budget comedy horror films for 18 years. Been doing it. I've loved, you know, horror since I was 7. I was a Star Wars kid growing up, but around 7 years old is when I first saw Nightmare on Elm Street. I mean, I was aware of horror. I saw it here and there, but it wasn't until my mom took me to see Nightmare on Elm Street in the theaters that I wanted to do it for real. And, you know, I mean, I don't really make horror films per se. I do comedies, but throw in horror elements. And, I mean, they're the two genres that I love the most, offbeat, weird comedy, and horror. And I don't think I could ever make a straight horror film. So I've stuck to the comedy horror thing, and that's what I do. And let's see, we've done 37 films since 1991. About 16 now have worldwide distribution. And about to do a new film in October. So yeah, that's LBP, Low Budget Pictures, indeed.
Awesome. So I guess a lot of people were more familiar with you when you first started with Mulva and Filthy, because those were the two that got distributed by Tempe first. So.
Yeah, in 2001, that's when we first got Distro.
Distro, but you've been, you know, doing the convention circuits for like a long time before then, right? Just selling.
Well, like around 1993 is when I started going to conventions, and we didn't start selling until 1996, we were doing a lot of Fangoria conventions back then. Just
now,
like,
who's your like favorite celebrity that you've met? Like somebody who you most admired.
I don't know. Like, I mean, growing up, I was extremely hardcore into like Tom Savini. And I remember the first time I met him, I was actually like nervous and shaky, and I don't know why. I mean, afterwards it was like, oh, he was kind of a, you know, putz, but I think that was really, you know, a very nervous situation for me. I've met a lot of really sweet people. John Landis was pretty awesome. He came up to our table and just hung out there for a good 10 minutes and just talked with us and chatted with us and took a bunch of LBP movies and wanted to know about Teen Ape and everything, and that was pretty cool. But I mean,
how
there's been a lot.
How recently was that?
What's that?
How recently was that?
That was 2 years ago.
Oh, nice.
That was at a Horror Hound convention. And then, like, Derek Mears, you may know him as the new Jason. But he is awesome. And for about a year now, he's been sort of off and on with us as far as, like, just joking around at conventions, sort of just being really cool. He was a fan of Ski Wolf. We recently gave him Death Bone and stuff like that. But Derek Mears is a really sweet dude, too. But, I mean, there's tons of people that are awesome out there, and there's tons of dickheads too, but just kind of go with the flow. But yeah.
Yep. So I guess now you've been doing the, you know, you've been selling like tapes and DVDs for so long, but
the VHS. Yes, we started with the big ass clamshell VHS covers.
Could you imagine if you were back around when Betamax was around and selling those?
Yeah. That'd be sweet. I don't know.
But
I'd like to have a beta version of Malva.
Of Malva, or how
or
about of Anal Paprika, or
yeah, that'd be wild.
That would be pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, I used to have a ton of them, and then they didn't really last very long,
mm-hmm.
you know. But anyway, yeah. So I mean, you've been doing it for so long, and it's awesome. It's awesome that you've been basically being there. It's almost, you said it's almost been 20 years, right? It's been like 18.
Yeah, in February, it'll be 19 years doing LBP. Yep.
That's crazy. So like,
yeah.
how did you mark the day? I guess like, how did the February day come to?
Well, because you can look back at like some of the VHS tapes that I have, and you can see. Because on the old, like, you know, big-ass camcorders, they were the VHS camcorders,
mm-hmm.
and they always had the time and date on there. And you could type in your own font and title. And ours was, like, February something, 1991, low-budget pictures.
Nice.
And you know, I have tapes from before that.
Was that Commando Kids or which one was that?
I think it was something before. I think it was even like we did like a Jason, like a little
Jason
movie.
Movie.
Yeah, and
nice.
And that's what it was.
Well, that's really cool. And you've done Jason Van films for a while, too. So.
Well, yeah, we did them for probably from, like, 91 till 94. We did Jason Van films while, you know, doing other shit, doing other original stuff. But, yeah, I mean, Freddy and Jason were a huge, huge part of my life and still are, actually. People know I'm a giant Friday fan. And I love Freddy too. I mean, I have just as almost as much Freddy shit that I do Jason shit. But I don't know. I love them both, but there's something about Jason that really stirs up the children downstairs, if you know what I mean.
and Jason's probably the more fun one because, you know, you can pretty much do almost a lot of more stuff with him than you can with Freddy, cuz, you know.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Freddy is pretty out there. He can do whatever he wants, you know. I mean, Freddy is awesome. He's hilarious. I mean, cheesy hilarious. Jason, I think just, I don't know, I just like the fact that he fucking, you know, and he just rips through people, but, you know, in the later sequels, they started giving him a little sense of fun by, like, you know.
By having the quips and
No, because Jason didn't really have the quips. I'm just saying that.
Oh, Jason, I thought you meant Freddy.
No. Well, he just, especially in part six, you know, they made him a little goofier.
And they added some comedy to the whole thing, which
yeah,
cool.
And then from then on, he did have a little sense of humor as far as, like, even after, like, killing somebody, he would, you know, sort of cock his head and look at the camera and that type of bullshit. But I don't know, there's something about Jason over Michael Myers that appeals far more to me. So.
Yeah, I guess Michael Myers, they really try to make him serious the whole time. Like, I don't think, you know.
Well, and I mean, he really, you know, up until whatever fucking Rob Zombie did to destroy him, he just sort of walked around and stabbed things.
Yeah,
I'm not a big fan. I like Halloween and
the first
Halloween,
one.
And I like Halloween 1, 4, and 5, and that's about it.
So you like the ones with Danielle Harris and?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
and
those
first
were
one
fun.
Is just friggin' great. The first one is awesome. Just classic stuff. But as far as a character, I can do without him.
I'm sure you weren't a fan of Halloween 3 when you first saw it.
I don't really think much of it, really. You know, it's, to me, it's not a Halloween movie, so.
Yeah. And I guess let's go back to LVP. Because we kind of went off on the whole thing there, but
it's okay.
But as far as doing like shorts and other things that you did, you know, your first, like, I guess, feature film was, would you say that was like Anal 2, or which one's the first one that you did that was?
Well, technically, I mean, Malva. Oh wait, no, you're right. You're right. Anal 2 is the first. Yeah.
Anal Paprika 2.
Yes, Anal Paprika 2 was the first one we hit 60 minutes, yes.
Okay, and then, yeah, and then Mulva was the one that first got you kind of, you know, out there, but...
Yeah, but that confused me, because the first cut that Tempe did was a 45-minute version.
What? How did that happen?
Well, that's the version that first got released on Hell Asylum.
Okay,
when it was,
and
when it was out
did they
the
cut it themselves,
DVDs.
Or did you...
No, I can't even... It's been so long, I cannot remember what the hell happened. But but that was cut on the Full Moon versions.
Okay.
And then when they re-released them with the Mulva and Filthy disc itself, he put the full 60-minute version back.
Oh, really cool.
Of Mulva.
So give the uncut director's cut version, basically.
I guess. Yeah, actually, you know what? Like, actually, the people who have the VHS version, because we sold that movie at conventions before Tempe picked it up for distribution, and that version is actually more complete than the other version. There was so many edits to the first Mulva, it's ridiculous. Like, there's things that I wish I had the raw footage tapes, because I would actually do like a new cut of the film.
Really cool.
Because there's a good, probably a good 10 minutes more stuff that was in that thing, and some fun stuff, I think. You know, I mean, it's still horribly cheesy, and it is what it is, but I think fans of Mulva would dig seeing that old stuff.
But okay, well, we do have a caller. Hold on, let me bring the caller on real quick. Caller, hello, you should be on air. Hello? Okay. Hello, caller.
It's a heavy breather.
All right. Well, I guess we won't be hearing from them unless they contact me personally and say that they're on the air, but on the line. But I'll just keep them on air so they can hear the show, I guess. You know.
Word.
I don't know. But that's kind of weird that they would not answer. I think I know it is, too. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can bring him on.
Is it Josh or Casey?
No. Hold on. Let me see if they're on again. Hello, caller. Are you on? I guess
it's someone in your house.
I guess not. Okay. Well, anyway, so let's go on to some more stuff, I guess. So all right. So let's go into more recent stuff, I guess. Now the more, you know, let's talk about the Huther and Pugly series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is by far, I think, one of your best, like, group of characters. You know.
I agree.
And,
I was just thinking today when I was getting ready for this convention we're doing tomorrow, how badly I want to do another one, and how well, like, I think the chemistry is between Meredith and Lauren, and just the whole Heather and Pugly has its own sort of its own universe outside of the LBP universe, I think. It really is its own little world, and I like going back to it, and I haven't gone back to it since 2006. And I keep telling everybody that there's going to be this sweet 4-disc like box set to it, and there is. It's just I have a horrible computer, and my computer craps out all the time. And in order for me to devote the time that I want to this box set, I'm gonna need a sweet ass computer, a new one, or a good, you know, 4 days at somebody's place with a sweet ass computer for me to get this disc ready, this box set ready. Because there's tons of stuff that I have planned for this, a recut of Drop a Deuce and a recut of 12 Inches of Dangling Fury, and a ton of behind-the-scenes footage and interviews from everybody involved in the Heather and Pugly movies that we shot, like, throughout the years. So.
Oh, very cool. So, I guess
but I
when
do
you
wanna
get
do
a better
them.
Computer, you're going to...
Yeah, I mean, I am. I still plan to because I love them so much. They do make an appearance in the new Teen Ape film. Heather's in the whole thing as a character, but Pugly does show up, and they do have a little moment together.
Awesome.
It was very cool to see them together again next to
each
other.
Yeah, I kind of miss Lauren acting, and, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's once, because of our boy, it's kind of tough for her. I mean, just shooting the stuff that she shot for this, it was kind of a pain in the ass because of him. So just not quite ready yet to come back for a full day of stuff like she used to.
Well, that's cool. It'd be good. It'd be good to, get to see more stuff from her, but... we'll take what we can get, right?
She does show up in Deathbone.
Yeah, she does show up in Deathbone.
She's a fairy
in
Deathbone.
So.
So I did get her in that last year.
But we'll talk about that a little bit more soon.
Okay.
Deathbone's definitely one of the big topics we'll talk about because your newer stuff is a lot of what we want to really discuss. But as far as, Heather and Pugly goes, I mean, I can't wait to see more stuff from them and whatnot. But do you know, like, is there any interest from any of the distributors, to pick up a whole series full of them?
I don't know. I think the problem... the thing with the Heather and Pugly movies is that I made them specifically... to sell outside of the distribution world, if you will. They were LBP movies, so I could do whatever the hell I wanted with them, and I could put any music that I wanted to in them and all sorts of junk like that. So I don't know... I think if anyone were to do it, I think it would probably be Tempe. I don't know if SRS would be interested at all. And I know, Troma did have a contract a long time ago for them to put out Drop a Deuce. And that fell through like many other contracts with Troma. So I don't know. I think I would rather do do it ourselves and put out a sweet box set ourselves.
Oh, very cool.
And really, like, put some time into it and put whatever we want on it. As far as another movie, I have thought several times about doing just a whole, like just doing a new Heather and Pugsley movie for a distributor. That really wouldn't, like, reboot or wouldn't remake or anything like that. It would just be a Heather and Pugsley tale, but it would be so that, like, you wouldn't have any connection to the others at all, and you would just sort of, oh, it's a movie with these characters, Heather and Pugsley, in it. That's sort of, like, you know, what it would be, I guess.
So, now you've had, I think we've discussed this on the radio show before, but you've had, like, a ton of people acting in your movies, just different friends and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and celebrities, you know, like Debra Shawn and Trent
mm-hmm.
Haga and Billy Garbarina, you know?
Yeah.
I had to throw Billy's name in there, but,
yeah.
You know. But, you know, you've had all these, you've had, you know, just friends and, you know, people that you knew from the industry. But, you know, but a lot of them, I guess, they can't, some of them just, you know, it gets to be, I guess, a little bit of drama. We don't have to go into that, but, you know it's there sometimes, you know? I'm sure with every movie set, there's going to be drama, you know?
Oh, well, there certainly is. I mean, you know, I mean, the people that you see in LVP now are the people that are just not going to go anywhere. They are the loyal group, and they are the ones who put up with my bullshit and keep coming back, and they are the loyal friends, and they are the ones I care the most about. The people that you don't see that much, you probably won't see them again. Or are the people that cause trouble, or, you know, or just didn't gel with us and didn't work out with us. So that, I don't know. You know, every low-budget production, even bigger-budget production, everyone probably goes through that shit, dealing with shitty, quote-unquote, actors and just shitty people in general trying to get the movie made. You just deal with it and soldier on. And, you know, luckily we all think quite fast on our feet, and when shit does arise, like the day before shooting or the day of shooting, then we all quickly sort of put our heads together and try to fix it ASAP. So it's always seemed to work out, but it is there. I mean, it's always, you know, I mean, the shoot for the Teen Ape movie we just did was one of the worst. So, you know, still happens, and you just deal with it and move on.
Exactly. And the people that you have right now, I mean, they're just amazing.
Yes, they are.
Josh, Jesse.
I love them.
Everybody.
Very good friends.
Casey,
just,
everybody
just
that you've had. Casey,
cool.
I mean, even though, you know, he's your cousin and you've had him for, like, since, I guess, way back in the day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just been one of the people who you've pretty much cast for, you know, a ton of the stuff, and just keeps coming back for more, I guess.
Yeah.
And, no, that's great. I mean, those guys are awesome, you know. And,
yes, they are.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, there's times where I think that, like, this is the last time, you know. Like, a movie is just, it's been so tough and it's been rough on everybody. And I think, man, this is probably when I'm going to lose this person or this person. And they just keep coming back. I think, you know, it's they realize, and I eventually realize, that while the movie is hard, as we're doing it, it passes, and the outcome is, you know, always what we're going for, and always the good part of it. And then by the time that happens, you're just sort of like, whatever, you know. Yeah, it was a hard time, but big deal. Let's get on to the next one. So luckily, you know, they all sort of agree that, you know, what happens then, but that's gone now, and let's move on. Let's just keep kicking it.
Yeah, I can't believe I didn't mention Meredith, too. in that list. Well, there's a ton of them. I can't go through all of them that are still there, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, also you've had Nicola Fiore, who's been on my show a ton of times, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, she's done three things with us so far.
Yeah, and she keeps wanting to come back, huh?
She likes it. you know, I mean, we all sort of, you know, we agree that some people gel and some don't, and she gets it. She, you know, she totally gets it. She likes all of us, and we like her. And there were some problems here and there with some people that tried to cause some bullshit, but, you know, you just, I don't know. Yeah, Nicola's sweet.
Exactly. And
she's awesome as thunder, and she did a funny bit for us in Blood Trim 2, and, you know, it was, yeah. She will probably be in another LVP film.
Sometime soon, right? Whenever you guys can work your schedules. Cause she's busy now too. She's getting jobs left and right. So it's good for her, you know. I guess we can go right into your newer stuff now, since we talked a little bit about your old stuff to kind of get people more familiar. Who might not be, which if they're not familiar, they should check out lowbudgetpictures.net.
Indeed, yes. You can find a menagerie of tomfoolery there.
Yes.
Some not there just yet, but some sold out. But a lot of it's there. And, you know, you can check it out all over. Just sort of type in Low Budget Pictures or Chris Siever or whatever, and you'll find a bunch of garbage.
Well, there you go. you know, a lot of your older stuff had gotten sold out because it just, you know, you just haven't made them in a while, right?
Well, some are just gone.
You don't have, a copy of them? Or?
No, yeah, I don't.
You don't? Yourself, even?
No, and some of them, like, the masters are fucked.
Oh, man.
So, it's kind of a shame here and there. Like, I recently got back Anal Paprika 1 and Vintage Sievage 1 and 2 and Blood Trim and Bojack High.
If you need me to, I don't know if this would work, but if you need me to make you a copy of some of them, just let me know.
Well, that's what I did. I ended up just going to some of the other LBP gang and just saying, hey, can I
borrow your copy?
Masters, yeah. So
awesome. Well, there you go. And just for yourself, right, mainly, too.
Well, yeah, but, like, there's a couple titles that, the hardcore fans have always bugged me about, and, like, it'll be the one that they do not have in their collection. So it's nice to be able to finally have them and, you know, have the fans get everything that they want. Even if it's, you know, some of the crappiest stuff we've done. So, but, you know, I know Scrotal Vengeance was a big deal for a lot of people, and they finally it's, you know, the master's good, and they can get their precious Scrotal Vengeance.
Yeah, I love that movie, so there you go.
Yeah.
You know, it's a fun one. I always thought it was kind of weird to see vampires fighting each other in the day, but, you know. I'm sure most of it was just so you guys could get it shot, you know?
I guess. I don't know. Interesting thing about that movie is we shot it twice. We shot the whole movie twice. Because the first time we shot it, all of the camera that we were shooting on, none of the gain was turned up. None of the white balance was messed with. It was a mess. And we didn't even think about, like, checking out any of the footage while we were shooting it until I got it all back, and then I looked at it, and it was all, like, dark through everything, through the whole thing. So we went back like 2 weekends later and shot the movie again over a weekend.
So, wow. So, and that's
almost what happened with Filthy McNasty.
The original?
Yeah, because we did a movie called Bon Appa Die, which was basically Filthy McNasty. And I was looking at the footage for Bon Appa Die and didn't quite like it. Wasn't good enough. And I know my stuff is crappy, but I just didn't, like, I don't know, it didn't sit well with me. So I rewrote it as Filthy McNasty, and that's when I got Debbie involved. And then we shot Filthy McNasty. But Bon Appa Die was almost the same movie. Just a couple more characters here and there, and people were playing different characters, and it still had Phil the Demon in it.
Now that makeup for Phil the Demon was pretty good. You know,
yeah,
like
it's just a latex piece.
I mean,
piece
it still looks pretty cool.
Store.
You know,
the best that it's ever looked is in Filthy McNasty 3. Because that's when we got Jeremy, our effects guy from Legion of Terror, to work on it, and they did like a great job applying it and really good like airbrushing and everything.
Yeah, and that was Meredith who took over the reins.
Yes, actually, that character is back in the new Teen 8 movie. D'Artagnan is in the Teen 8 movie.
Oh wow! And I saw also that Razor McBleed is in Taint Light. So
yes, he is.
So, can you tell us, since Teen Light's coming out in November, which is pretty soon.
Yeah, it is.
Which is probably one of the fastest that Tempe's ever gotten your films out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously it was all planned like that. You know, I mean, you want to capitalize on the Twilight craze by putting out a spoof like
a
the same week. You know, well, it's not even close to the Asylum beauty.
Well, the Asylum takes their mockbuster seriously. You're actually mockbusting.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like you're actually making, you know, kind of spoofing the movie. You know,
it's actually I'm not that happy with the edit. Somebody edited
Life.
It. Yeah. And it's kind of rough. You people will see. But it's for how fast we had to get it done. I think it's okay. If I would have done quite a few things differently if I had edited it myself, and I wish I could have. But oh well. What do you do? We shot it immediately after we shot the Teen 8 movie, so everyone was sort of still exhausted. But it's funny, you know? I mean, we're making fun of a horrible movie anyway, and I think for the time we had and the circumstances and all that stuff, I think it's a good laugh. You know, it's a nice chuckle, and Kurt is hilarious. As the main dude.
I've always liked Kurt, but I always usually like him as the villain, so it's kind of funny to see him, you know, play like the hero, I guess.
Yeah.
You know. And yeah, Kurt's definitely a good, you know, addition to your cast, too, so. You know, it's been really cool having you on the show and having all the LBP group, you know, come on the show and kind of talk, too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Before too, so you know that's always fun. So, but it's also good to have you just come on and kind of, so it's not so crazy. You know, lately it's been kind of nuts, I guess, with some of the cast. And we're supposed to do that one show, and it didn't happen. Which,
yeah, and I honestly don't even know how that would have went down, because that was the start of the
the whole the Teen 8 movie.
The tsunami that went down. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was, yeah, you sounded like it was crazy, like, you know, when you were talking to me on the phone before it started, saying, you know, so.
Mm-hmm.
It was fine. I understood, you know. It was one of the things. Didn't we do that at the last minute anyway? Like, it was kind of the last minute. We had, like,
I
guess we thought about it a couple days before.
I don't know.
Yeah. So, all those days kind of blur together, I'm sure, for you now.
Yeah. That whole movie is a blur.
Now, are you ever going to do that? You know, I know at one point you were thinking about doing, like, a Jack Harcourt movie.
I wish I could. I mean, I suppose I could. I think if we were to do it right, it would take a lot longer than we usually take to shoot.
It would take about a normal, like, 2-week shoot or longer or something.
I don't know. I don't know. It definitely would take longer, and we would need a lot of computer enhancement for what we had planned for that movie. So I don't know. I mean, perhaps the character might show up somewhere in a film. I mean, it's still on my mind from time to time, you know, and I still have that little 10-minute bit that we did shoot.
Yeah, it looked good. It was on, like, YouTube for a while, too, I think.
Yeah.
You might still be on there, but, yeah, I remember watching that going, because, you know, I guess, how did you get that, because you got the an archive from the Poltergeist set stuff. Like,
well, we went when Lloyd and the gang were coming up to Rochester to blow up the chicken bunker for the movie, because there was a pyro guy up here that was cheap that they wanted. So I said, well, hey, can we come along and document it? And he's like, yeah, well, why don't you just, you can shoot it for one of your movies. And I was like, okay. So he let us shoot the same thing with my camera and use it for Jack Harcourt. So we got the same thing. Actually, in the Poltergeist behind the scenes, you can see me. Where they go and set up the
in the documentary?
Yeah, in the documentary, when they're shooting that scene, you can see me there, and you can hear one of the employees yell for me to get out of the way because they're about to blow it up because I was too close. But I was trying to set up our camera, but it was cool, very cool of them, you know. And who knows if that'll ever happen. But it was a nice little, you know, it wasn't even like the start of the movie. We just sort of shot like a scene, you know.
Awesome. Awesome. So just so anybody knows, that if you want to call in at all, the number is 1-646-915-8693. And you can talk to Chris Seaver about his films.
Yeah.
Or just call in to say hey, you know.
Yeah, I thought Josh would call in. I guess he wasn't having it.
Well, you know, he's
out.
Been on the show a lot, so, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if he doesn't want to come on, I...
No, I'm going to see him tomorrow. We're, you know, he's at the table, at the LBP table, so.
Awesome. Now, is he going to be at most of the conventions with you, or...?
No. This was, like, a fluke thing, because... luckily it's right before he starts his nursing school again. And then he's going to be sort of like gone, just out of commission for a while. So this sort of worked out where it was like the last weekend before his shitstorm begins.
Wow.
And it's like 3 hours away from him. So.
Oh, cool. So
he was like,
probably
let's do it.
There.
Yeah. So.
Awesome. Now, I'm sorry I'm not going to be able to see you down at Horrifying, or up at Horrifying.
Yeah, I don't know about you.
What?
I totally would have done it.
If I really had the money, like,
I think
to
you're
do
missing
it.
Out on some passion and a
some
really
passion.
Sweet experience.
I'll definitely. I mean, it's definitely on some of the to do list eventually. And Horrifying is the closest one, I guess, because it's like 6 hours away,
mm-hmm.
so from me, or so like 5 or 6, I guess. It's Maryland, so. It's Baltimore, right? Basically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, I'll eventually go, And it kind of sucks when I had to cancel my room, but there's just nobody to go with, man, and I really don't want to go by myself. It's kind of awkward, driving up there by myself in my crappy car, So, I'm sure there'll be plenty of chances. You're still doing the horror circuit, so. I'll be able to meet you guys sometime.
Indeed.
And if maybe some people would want to sponsor me and pay for me to go to places like that to do stuff for Independent Corner TV, just email me johndoe_555@hotmail.com.
I told you could have stayed in our room and it would have only been like 50 bones.
Just 50?
That's a lot better than 300.
Yeah, no, it was like, I think 250 or something per night. Or not mm-hmm. per night, but for the whole thing.
Yeah.
It was cheaper than I thought it was going to be, too, so with the discount that they give you. But, whatever, it happens. Kind of sucks at work is somebody took all our, we have like a sheet that writes down when we're off, like when we want off. And somebody took them all out and threw it all out, and that had my my days listed down for the 25th through 27th. So I might not have been able to go anyway. Yeah, doesn't that suck? Like, that sucks when somebody just did that to be a dude.
Couldn't you just told your boss, like, hey, I had these dates down and it's gone?
Yeah, I could have, but they wouldn't have. They would have been like, just find somebody else to cover your shift. Because they were saying, that it wasn't their fault, So, I'm not really going to get into it. That's kind of a personal, personal thing, and I don't want to bring it on the air. But that was another reason why I was like too freaking pissed off about not being able to go, But, I guess I have to work. I can't, call out all the time, so, kind of sucks. And I'm sure from work, having, a real job and doing movies and going to conventions and doing everything,
Well, what was cool about my job was that, I told them right up front from the get-go when I first started working there that I'm going to be giving you days off because this is what I do. And I make more money at this than I do working for you. And they were always cool with it. So I never had a problem getting time off for conventions or making movies.
And you got to make a movie in your work.
Yes, indeed, I did. Yes, I did.
And that's pretty cool. Do you still work there or do you work somewhere else now?
No, I am jobless.
Oh, well, you don't need it now that you're still, you're making the stuff for Sub Rosa and...
Well, no, I need it.
Really?
I'm broke, but that's why you just keep doing it. You keep trying to take as many movie jobs as you can, and whatever. It's just I am definitely broke, but you gotta keep going. You gotta take those risks, and with LBP, I've always taken a risk, so.
Well, I guess, yeah, so that's cool that I guess you had to leave, I guess, because probably got sick of working there, huh?
It definitely took its toll, for sure. It was contributing to my anxiety attacks and to my health, and definitely just was not a good place for me after that so many years, so...
Yeah, and well, I guess if we want to talk a little bit about film crew and stuff, how was it filming in your own workplace?
That's another one that I can hardly remember because we.
Really?
Well, because the whole film, we shot it in 16 hours, a combined 16 hours. That's it.
Wow.
And we had to do it nights, so we did it two nights. And
wow.
Those two nights combined to 16 hours total for filming.
So 8 hours each night?
And it was like, who the fuck knows what went on? Like, I can hardly remember. It was just fast, fast, fast. We just did what we could in the time that we had.
Really cool.
I remember, we were so tired and, Kurt fell asleep on one of the benches in the lobby, and it was a very long, quick, if that makes sense. It was just a blur. That's another one that's just a blur. I honestly can't even remember. So, but it was cool, I mean, I had to go through the motions of getting the permission to do that, to shoot there, but. Shocked the hell out of me that they let us. So.
Now, my question for the character that Josh plays in there, Caspian.
Uh-huh.
The legs, Josh's legs.
Josh's.
How did you
giant?
How did you decide to do that? Like, how did that come about?
Because at a convention, we had known Josh for quite some time and. But, we never really bothered taking a look at his calves. And then at one convention, he sort of, he maybe put his leg up on his knee or something, just sitting there and chilling with us. And I saw his gigantic calves and I was just disgusted. And, we were horrified and we all started laughing and just that's sort of the genesis of that. I said he looked like he had some tit implants in his calves. And
calf implants?
Well, no, it looked like he had a couple of boobs
per calf
hanging in his calf. So that's where that all came from.
Awesome. Well, just because I was just wondering what the genesis of that really was.
The genesis actually of him, of Caspian was at that convention. Because that's where I first called him Caspian because of something he was doing to a customer at the table. I don't know why I called him Caspian. It just seemed like a creepy name because he was doing something creepy to the customer. And it's where he told us about the whole soup thing and how it was spilled on somebody and at where he was working and all this weird stuff. And that's the genesis of Film Crew was that convention. I don't even know what convention it was. It was a Cinema Wasteland, but it must have been earlier that year.
So awesome. Well, I like that character, and I'm glad you brought him back, too,
Some people, people hate that character.
Really?
Some people love him, but, most people hate him.
Do they tell you this stuff?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's a crying shame, because, as the creator of these characters, you're always sort of like, oh, man, and then the people who bring them to life, you feel, as, the person who wrote and directed it, you feel that this guy is doing an awesome job at this character. And if it's making me laugh, then it's good to go. But, I sometimes do not think about the general audience and if they will like the character. And Caspian is definitely not a beloved character.
So, but what made you bring him? Well, did you know about that before you brought him back, or?
Yeah, because I don't care.
Okay.
I like him, so he's coming back. I'm not gonna have the fans dictate what I do. You know, if that were the case, then I wouldn't be doing this anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Well, let's see. I guess let's move on a little bit. I do also, before we get into your new stuff, I do want to talk a little bit about like Wet Heat, and since we just talked about Film Crew, which people can get most of these stuff on Netflix or Amazon or through your site, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
And
you can go check them out.
Or Tempe has some of them, like has the Wet Heat and Film Crew double feature, which people I started seeing like on Netflix or whatever. People have to like keep saying in their reviews to not get it confused with the Film Crew thing from I guess that
MST3K.
Yeah, those guys had done before they became Riff Tracks, I guess. But did they do a movie? I guess did they do a movie called Wet Heat? That they
They were just called the Film Crew.
Well, no, I mean I was wondering if they had actually like watched a movie called Wet Heat or something, you know, in the Film Crew. So, but both those movies as a double feature are fun to watch, you know.
Yeah, I'm, you know, it's two of my better films, I think. I love Wet Heat. I think Wet Heat is pretty awesome.
And was that going to be one of the goodbyes to Teen Ape?
Yeah.
One of the many?
Wet Heat and Teen Ape Goes to Camp were sort of like the so longs.
And then you brought them
back? I brought them back. It took like over a year for me to bring them back. So,
and was that more of the fans, or was that more of your kind of personal?
I think it was both, but I kept having like funny ideas, funny scenarios to throw him in. Like he didn't come back until we put him in Blood Trim 2.
Oh wow!
I
didn't even know
May.
He was in Blood Trim 2. That's awesome. Which I still want to see sometime, but did you, I think you said something about the master copy.
The master is gone.
So it's all gone?
I have the raw footage, but I'm not going to sit and re-edit it. There's no, I mean, I will eventually, but I'm certainly not going to, I got to get this out there. It's Blood Trim 2. I mean.
Yeah, it's something you're doing just for the fans. Or just...
Yeah, we did it, we shot it in a day, you know, like, it's, it was fun. I mean, it is what it is. It's the sequel to Blood Trim. It's. But the master DVD was stolen, so.
Did Jason McCall come back for it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, awesome. So that's great. And I don't know. Did you have Michael Jackson come back?
No. Actually, we were going to do it. It was Lauren's idea to do it. But then she read the rest of the script, and because what we were gonna, she came up with a gag that involved our son in it with Michael Jackson, and it would have been hilarious and funny. And but after she
and
read the rest,
twisted a little bit, I'm sure.
Oh yes, and after the rest of the script, she was like, you know what? Let's not put him in this, so I'm not gonna do this. Which I understand, you know. He just Blood Trim 2 is nasty. It's very nasty.
Is it one of your filthiest, or?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And that's not something we needed our son to be a part of. So.
Okay, so then you decide not to go on that way.
So there was no Michael Jackson.
Well, you know, you know, as far as, you know, Michael Jackson's death and everything like that, it just probably would not have been the time exactly to do that, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I still put a couple of Michael Jackson jokes in the new Teen Ape movie and in Twilight.
Oh, awesome.
But I love Michael Jackson. I actually, like, I have always listened to his music and have always, like, fucking dug him and still have his CDs and shit like that. It's just, you know, he was an easy target to make fun of, and whether you believe the shit or not, which I didn't. So, but it was still fun to make fun of him.
Right.
So, I don't know why. I guess the same way as me making fun of a lot of the shit I love, you know, just in the movies, I poke fun of so much shit. I still love it. But, so I didn't really care about the timing thing.
Yeah.
In a way, we were sort of putting them in as a little wink to, to our love to MJ.
To MJ. You know, I guess all the fans, you know, severely miss them and everything, so. But it's great. I mean, it was funny. I think the most fun is to show, like, somebody who's so not into this kind of, like, you know, kind of filth and kind of fun, you know, funness,
yeah.
But they just don't get it, you know,
mm-hmm.
And show them something like Bloodstream, you know, to kind of show them, like, because that first one was pretty bad, too, you know.
Well.
I'm sure it's not nearly as bad as Bloodstream 2, but.
No, Bloodstream 2 is it's the grossest thing we've done. And that's saying a lot.
And a lot of people thought, I guess, Filthy was probably the grossest, right?
Filthy 3, yeah, Filthy 3, I think.
Oh, wow. So it just beat Filthy 3?
Yeah, there's some gross stuff in it, you know, and it's only like it's 45 minutes. It's longer than the first Bloodstream.
Yeah, no, the first
Bloodstream
and Bloody Giblets are both 30 minutes. So.
Yeah.
It would have been cool if you did like another 30-minute movie or something and called it Blood something, and then had like a triple blood feature or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we figured Bloodstream 2 would have only been 30 minutes, but it ended up being 45. So.
Huh.
Whatever, and we only shot a day.
I can't believe you did 45 minutes in a day. That's crazy.
Yep.
And the fact that you can make these movies, most of these movies, in just a weekend.
Yep.
Is amazing. Just, I guess a lot of it's just go, 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 right?
That's it.
And I guess because I was talking to a director, I don't know if you've heard of him, a low-budget director named Creep Creeperson, and he was talking about how, you know, when he shoots his movies, he's did like Orgy of Blood and all these films with like Ariana's and Ariana Albright's in a few of his films and stuff, but he was talking about how if a actor or something doesn't work out, you know, within the first, couple of tries with this movie, he has to kick him out because he has to go, go, go.
Yeah.
Just as fast as you. He makes movies in, like, I think the movie he did with Ariana, Peeping Blog, was only, like, 3 days, you know? And, you know, but even that was like a 3-hour-long movie originally, you know, and it was 3 hours of this dude just watching these people and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just thought that was kind of funny that, you know, there are other people, I guess, try making things like a weekend or 5 days at the most, you know.
You know, we usually do 2 to 3 days. I mean, our shortest thing was the 16 hours for other than the shorts, but the 16 hours making film crew, making a feature in 16 hours, that was the shortest. But we try to do them in 2 to 3 days tops. Otherwise, it's just, I don't know. We shot the Teenage movie in 5 days, and we figured having 5 days would have been an amazing luxury. But it wasn't.
So I guess a little bit of that, I guess was Teenape in the versus the Monster Nazi Apocalypse. Would you say that was your longest shoot you've done?
Yep, 5 days.
We've never done
5 days. Never five. That's what I'm saying. Like, we figured it would be like 5 days. We have 2 extra days to make this movie. What a great, you know, time span for us. This will be leisurely, and I probably think everybody, it was probably the hardest movie we've ever done.
Hmm.
And it was a nightmare for me.
No.
And everyone knows it. Everyone
was
felt
there,
the wrath.
I mean, can you say anything, I guess, since people are probably wondering, like, what was it that really kind of made it, like, just the scheduling, or what was it that really made it just kind of hard?
I'm going to go with everything.
Everything?
Yeah, everything.
Hmm.
I mean, it's a movie that... I shouldn't have wrote it. I wrote this thing bigger than it should have been, because it was finally going to be our first movie, finally, 100% for real, on Troma. And they were paying for it, and so I wanted to sort of go big. And I don't know. We could have used a week to shoot, for sure. Maybe even longer.
Yeah, I think when I told Tiffany Shepis, you know, that you guys shoot movies in like 3 days, she was like, "What?" Like, she didn't think that was even heard of. You know, that you can make a movie in like 3 days. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I think that's an awesome thing. You know, for you guys to have that under your belt where you guys can. Just go, go, go.
And we did two features back-to-back, which was something that I'm never going to do ever again.
Have been very stressful.
It was. I mean, it fucking sucked. But,
was it hard because were most of the people from Monster Nazi Apocalypse in Twilight?
A small chunk. A majority of the gang went back to their homes. Another thing that was a problem with Teen Ape was that we had so many extras. We had so many extras. We had more extras in it than Malva 1 and Karaoke Kid. And I don't usually deal with that, you know. I work well with a small group, and this was all over the place, and we had a lot of more makeup and special effects in the Teen Ape movie than in anything we've done.
Oh wow!
Well, probably Malva was up there. Malva's up there, but we definitely did more with this. Maybe not as cool, but definitely did more. And because there's a ton of action in the movie. Like, and that's honestly all I can remember from the film, is just action, 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 action. Like, I don't even know if we did good dialogue-wise, acting-wise, because it's all a blur, and we were so focused on the action and the effects that I don't know if that stuff suffered. I haven't even taken a look at it. There is a trailer, and Troma has the trailer.
So are you not going to release it online, or...?
No, because that's all Troma. I mean, they own it. Like, anything, like, you know, anything and everything has to be sent to them and ran through them before.
It's different than, like, Tip A or SRS, you know?
Yeah. I mean, these, you know... And that's cool, you know. I mean,
yeah.
They're really going to, like, push it and promote it and get it out there. But I think they want to wait for a press release and
oh, wow.
All that stuff.
So it's going to be bigger than, you know, than I guess you've had it for a while, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool, and especially since it's a Teen Ape movie, you know.
Well, I tried to make it so that... just fans coming in could enjoy it, but there's also a ton of stuff for the hardcore fans. Like, almost every popular character is in the movie. So.
Then yeah, Heather and Pugly.
I don't even want to go into it.
Okay. Is there be too many?
Because I think no, I'm just I think I want all of you guys to like be surprised or like catch them or see if you can find them.
Like, where's Waldo? Where's?
Well, it's not that bad, but it's definitely like because you haven't seen some of these guys before. I mean, you know, recently I think it'll be fun to be like, holy shit, that was so and so.
Awesome. I'm gonna have to ask you personally later, like not on the show, about a couple of them because I have I hope that a couple of them are back that I've missed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to say anything on here, so because you know we wouldn't want to give anything away anyway, no spoilers.
Indeed.
But no, but I'm really you know excited to see it, you know, whenever it comes out. You know, maybe Troma can send me a screener or something, you know.
Who knows? I have no idea.
What they do.
I don't know what they're going to plan. I don't know when the release is. You know, the editing hasn't even begun on it.
Really?
The only thing I did on it was the trailer. That's the only thing I did so far.
Wow.
Because I don't have a computer. There's no way that I can, like, I have a computer, but it's garbage. There's no way I can edit.
Are you trying to basically save up to get a new one, or?
No, I can't do that because of, I am the sole provider.
Of your house, yeah.
In this house. Lauren's a stay-at-home mom, so everything is me. So I can't really, like, you know. I mean, we have to ask fans for donations to help us make the movies. Which I hate doing, but, you know.
But there are some hardcore fans out there.
Oh, yeah, totally. We love them. Like, I can't even imagine how I'm going to, like, I want to repay everybody. I wish I could. But, no, I mean, these conventions, they're basically for me to live off of, you know.
Right. And, you know, as for somebody who's been doing a lot more of that stuff myself, you know, I can say that I look up to people that, you know, can go out there and just, you know, make a freaking movie, you know, get out there. And you're definitely one of the people that have kind of, like, inspired me as far as just getting off my ass to go do something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, to run with the camera and make it, even if you know it's not going to come out the best at that particular moment, you know,
uh-huh.
To just get it out there to begin with. And I think it was like Robert Rodriguez who stated, like, you know, you want to just keep making movies, you know, you are a filmmaker. Don't call it, you know, don't say you aspire to be one. You are a filmmaker. Just go out there and just film, you know. And he's one of your idols, right? One of your role models.
I wouldn't say that, but I do love him. But I mean, if you look at my stuff, I certainly, I don't, I'm not inspired visually by him. And
well,
you know, I just think I like his movies a lot. I love how he works, you know.
And you pretty much watch anything that comes out from him.
Well. I'm not a big fan of the kids' movies. I do like Spy Kids 1 and 2, actually, but, you know, that
no Shark Boy and Lava Girl?
No, I'm not going to see that, and I don't want to see Shorts.
Yeah, Shorts looks kind of silly.
So, and I understand what it is. I mean, it's a kids' movie, of course. It is what it is, but I'm not going to go see it.
Gee, I thought you would go see it with your son, but... Yes.
No, he can't quite deal with theaters yet. Not yet.
Not yet. How old is he, by the way?
He's 2.5.
2.5. Well, soon he will be.
I mean, he can go in there. It's not that he's afraid. He's just too... He's too wild. He can't sit there and, like, watch a movie. He does at home, but he's able to, like, you know, run around as well at home while he's watching, but not at the theater. So we've tried, and just not yet. Which is fine.
Awesome. You know, so I guess let's let's talk, you know, we talked a little bit about some of your newer stuff, but let's talk also about Deathbone. Billy Garbarina's big movie. And this was, I guess, the first one that really, like, starred him, right? Like, I mean, he'd been in the other ones, but this was, like, his main starring one.
Yeah, yeah. You know, he's the main character. He's done 7 movies now with us.
Wow, 7.
And he's awesome. I mean, what can you say about Billy? I love him. He's a good friend, and he's awesome, and he's good at what he does, and he's a go-to guy, and yeah, man, he's Deathbone's hilarious. You know, I think you know, that I think Deathbone shows you just that, like, right off the bat, that, like, LBP doesn't really cater to what everybody wants out there, you know. It's more about what I want to make. I mean, sure, you know, especially with SRS, I made the deal so that, like, I would make a couple movies that I wanted, and then I would make a couple movies that Ron Bonk would come up with the story for, but then I got to run with, you know. He likes a lot of redneck stuff. I don't, but I, you know, I did it for him and for the money, and I hopefully made them funny enough, you know, for people to enjoy. But generally, I don't care about redneck humor. It doesn't make me laugh. Luckily, I created Leo in Wet Heat, and Josh's performance was so hilarious that I loved Leo, and he is a redneck, and I could bring him back for every redneck thing that SRS wanted me to do, so it was easy that way to do that. But Deathbone is like, I wanted to make a barbarian film, and just because, you know, I like cheesy, shitty barbarian movies, and, you know, nobody makes them anymore. I mean, now they're gonna, like, come back with a vengeance, like, in the mainstream with the new Conan movie and Red Sonja and all this other shit that's coming out that's barbarian-like. And I don't know, I just wanted to make LVP's barbarian film. And it was also my chance to sort of redeem myself for making Quest for the Egg Salad. I was able to make a fantasy movie that I actually did enjoy. So, I mean,
very
it's just
cool.
Good, cheesy fun, you know, I mean, but it's not exactly, you know, a horror fan maybe wouldn't exactly be clamoring for a barbarian film, a barbarian comedy at that, so, I don't know. It'll find its audience, I think. I don't know when SRS is going to release it. They're putting out... It's funny, they put out Terror at Blood Fart Lake, and they're putting out I Spit Chew on Your Grave before Deathbone, and Deathbone was made before both of them. So, I don't know. I know they're putting it out, I have no idea when. Spit Chew is coming out October 6th.
Wow, so, and just in time for Halloween.
Yeah. And that's a fun one, man. Like, I Spit Chew on Your Grave is pretty fucking funny. And, I mean, we set out to do exactly what they wanted, which was to make a shitty
grindhouse
70s grindhouse exploitation film. And we did it in my style, my version. And I think we accomplished it.
It did seem more like a, you know, an LBP version of, you know, a grindhouse movie. You know,
uh-huh.
It just felt like that. It's like all the female characters, and, you know, just it was definitely I Spit on Your Grave, but with your twist, you know.
Yeah.
And
that's what they wanted. So.
And were you a fan of the I Spit on Your Grave original?
No, not at all.
No.
No, don't like it. Don't like any of those rape revenge movies.
Not even Last House on the Left.
Not really. No,
not really? For some reason, I always like it, but just because I don't know, it just felt raw and real and kind of, you know.
It doesn't appeal to me. I mean, I like the revenge aspects. I just, I don't know, the rape thing is just so, like, whatever.
Awesome. Well, I mean, you know, I guess, you know, that's great that you got the chance to do your own version, even though you weren't a fan of the original movie, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I guess some people would want to do that, too, would want to take a movie that they didn't like or something and do their own version to make it.
I think we made rape funny. So.
Oh, there you go, you know? And not a lot of people can do that, too. So,
you know. It's a horrible subject matter, of course, but, you know, if anyone's going to make rape hilarious, I guess it's LBP.
I'm sure, you know, you're not, I'm sure you don't condone it.
No, of course not.
anyway, let's talk a little bit about, we talked about Death Bone and I Spit You on Your Grave, you know, and what's the title of Death Bone? It's like Death Bone,
Death Bone.
The First Blood.
Third Blood, Part 7, The Blood of Death Bone.
And just, is there going to, like, are you thinking of doing a sequel at all to it, or?
We were going to do a sequel. I mean, I'd still like to. We were going to do, it was going to be called Doomblade.
Doomblade.
And it was going to poke fun at the post-apocalyptic films. It was sort of going to be, like, Death Bone in the future, but in, like, a wasteland. In like a Mad Maxian, you know, type setting, and I would like to do that. I think that would be an LBP movie. It wouldn't be like an outsourced film at all, because I don't think anyone would want that. But we do, and Deathbone is a main character in the Teen 8 movie.
Next we can talk a little bit, we talked a little bit about Taint Light, which we also want to discuss how, I guess, originally your title for it, and we've called it a couple times, is Twatlight.
Twatlight. It's Twatlight. To the LBP gang, it's Twatlight. I mean, we made our own cover calling it Twatlight as well, just because it's better. And I can understand why Tempe didn't go along with it, you know, to get it into the retail and rental chains, you know, you can't really...
Would they really have said something to them saying,
Yeah, twat, I mean, it's, you know, it's pretty blatant. Everyone knows what a twat is.
I think when I told some of my friends about the movie, because a lot of my friends, a lot of like, my guy friends do not like Twilight. It's just not there, you know?
Well, I fucking hate it.
Yeah.
It's
and
deplorable.
Once again,
and
another thing you weren't, like, a fan of that you got to kind of make
Well,
out.
I didn't even see it. There was no way. I had no interest in it. I thought it was ridiculous. And going about the parody, I had to watch it to sort of sit there and take notes at what I was going to poke fun at and some of the ridiculous shit that goes on in it. I had to poke fun at, so I do know the absurdity of the film.
And so you wanted to capitalize on the absurdity of it and kind of dwell into that, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that isn't even like the real movie.
Yeah, not related whatsoever.
I, you know, made it LBP, so.
Now,
but there's a good chunk that we really rip apart, so.
Now, when I heard it described on the Tempe thing, did they mention? I could have swore that the werewolf was a fan of John Stamos. Is that it?
No, Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Okay.
Yes.
That's what you. Okay. And
he does enjoy.
The Michael Jackson song.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I thought for some reason I thought John Stamos, but
no.
But that was, you know, an old school, you know, thing of yours, so maybe that's why I was thinking of it. But so was Michael Jackson doing, I think Lauren played Michael Jackson in the stuff, so. But anyway, but that's pretty cool that you got to go out there and kind of make your own version of it and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we shot it, you know, we shot it. We shot Teen Ape and Twatlight in 8 days. We shot the two movies in 8 days with 1 day in between the two for to rest.
Now, are you, like, worried about the Twilight bands?
No, not really. I don't care. It's a horrible movie. I don't care what some 16-year-old is gonna say about it.
I think it would be hilarious if, like, 13-year-old girls or whatever start renting your movie by mistake, you know, instead of, like, because I know The Asylum, what they had, like, you know, the movie would come out, and then they come out of the Blockbuster shelves before, and then they pick it up, not even thinking Twilight, you know, and they just pick it up, or, you know, like Snakes on a Train. They thought it would be like Snakes on a Plane or something like that, or whatever, you know, they just pick it up by not even thinking about it, and then they watch it and go, what the crap, you know? Like,
well, that'd be great.
It would be, you know, and it'd be awesome to hear what, you know, you have girls, like, writing on Netflix, you know, complaints about it, like, this has nothing to do with.
It's totally going to get complaints, which is fine, which is, you know, but I think some people, I think even some Twilight fans will probably get a kick out of it.
Awesome.
I really do. Because, I don't know, I think we did a good job. And Kurt, I mean, he really went to town on that guy. I mean, he does all the right facial expressions and, you know, he he looks like that dude, so.
Well, I think it's awesome that you had AJ come back, too, so.
Yeah, AJ's in the Teen Ape movie and Taint Light.
Awesome, you know,
and Jason is in Taint Light.
Nice, and, yeah, Jason McCall, so.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, Jason's such a nice guy, too, like, you know, talking to him through online and stuff, he's just a pretty cool guy. So, you know, you've had like I've said before, I guess, is that you've had a lot of really, really cool people, you know, and, you know, I've known that, I've known your group and I've watched your movies since what, like 2003 or four or something. It's been a long time, I guess. So, but when you first, I remember like the first time that you talked to me online, you suggested to me to go check out Quest for the Exile, I guess, is the first one I was going to get, you know? And you're like, yeah, if you don't ever talk to me again, that's okay. You know, after that, just watch the movie and let me know what you think, you know, or whatever. So, you know, and after that, you know, like, I guess I was hooked, you know? And since then, I've got almost every single movie, I think. All I'm missing is Ski Wolf and which is a crying shame because that's a classic. Also, I'm missing, I think, Bloodstream 2, and I think that's it, right? Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
Do you have both Vintage Seavages?
I got both Vintage Seavages, yeah.
Oh, there you go, then.
Yeah. I wanted Vintage Seavage 3. I wanted you to make another one. But.
Yeah, no.
There's so many, like, older titles that I remember you telling me about that I just thought just sounded so cool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you always talk about some on that commentary tracks, and I'm like, damn it. could only release them, you know? And I'm sure you don't have, like, even copies of stuff like Slaughter Cheerleading Bucard.
Oh, no, I have that.
Oh, you have that?
Mm-hmm. I have that, and I have the Apartment 22 short films that we did.
Okay, go ahead.
I actually have been thinking about, like, you know,
re-releasing
those them out. Yeah.
You know what would be cool though, if you if you don't mind me suggesting something, is if you put the Apartment 22 things, if you're able to do it, like upload them onto YouTube. You know, it's like a web series kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well,
is it just too nasty? Or?
Yeah, yeah, they wouldn't. There's no way.
Okay, well, would you be able to upload them onto your site, or is that going to cost, like...
I think I will just do, like, an LBP Shorts DVD, you know what I mean? And just
vintage DVD.
Put a bunch of shorts on the DVD.
And yeah, because I heard about the Apartment 22, and they just sounded fun, you know.
They are. They're fun and they're funny and they're gross and a pretty good time actually.
Now, do you keep in touch with some of those same people that did that stuff? Because I know like a lot of people had left, you know.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, no.
No.
I mean, Jesse Green is the only one that I recently sort of brought back, and you know, we'll put him in the flicks from time to time again, but that's about it. I mean, those Apartment 22s, you know, that was around the same time that Meredith joined, and Lauren was heavily in them, you know, so.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tari Cock and that other fuckface, no, they're, you know, never coming back.
Well, Tari definitely, like, I don't know, I haven't really even, like, heard from her in a long time, like, about, you know, she hasn't really been doing, I guess, any of these kind of things, so.
No.
You know, and, you know, but, you know, I still love all the older stuff, too, so it's cool to, it's cool if you bring them back just to have some of the older stuff coming back.
Yeah,
again.
I would like to. There's, you know, four or five shorts there that I think it would be fun for people to see now. So.
Now, how long were those shorts that lasted? Were they like 30 minutes or shorter?
I don't know. The Bukyaks, the Slumber Party Chilean Bukyaks one is like, I think that's 30 minutes. That might be 25 minutes. The others, I think, are the Apartment 22 shorts, I think, are about 20 minutes each.
Now, I remember you talking about the cheerleading Bukyaks one being one that you weren't very happy with originally.
No, I don't, you know, I don't. But it is what it is, you know. I mean, now, I mean, it's funny. It's certainly funny. That's why I would release it. I don't know why I, like, had these, you know, ideas of this is shit and this isn't, because, I mean, it's all pretty much garbage what I do. It's just, it's probably because of a certain thing that may have went down making it, or it always gives me, like, a sour feeling, so that's probably why I don't like some of them.
Right.
But Slumber Party is kind of fun, you know, it's very silly, very retarded.
You know. And I do want to talk a little bit. This kind of reminds me of, have you seen, what is it? The one that, the one movie that, what's his name? Doug Sackman had done the one little, was it a video game or something that he had done? That was kind of like, that had like live action movies, horror stuff, you know? Like Slaughter House.
No,
you know what I'm talking about?
Nope.
Well, I guess it's kind of hard to keep up with everybody, but he had done one that he recommended me check out that I think is actually in stores. You could probably look it up in a little bit, and you might like be, oh, okay, yeah, that one. But, you know, and Doug being one of the people that you always cast, is he didn't come back for the teenage movie, right? He was.
No, he couldn't, which sucked. But I just saw him, and we just did the Monster Mania convention, and we actually stayed at his place the first night we were there.
Oh, nice.
And so we got to hang out with Doug a little bit, and I mean, Doug's great. He's a busy fucking dude, and you know, I hope he can come up for what we're shooting in October. I don't know if he can, but we did.
Are you still waiting
it,
on that, or
did
you even ask him?
Oh no, we've talked about it.
Okay.
So
that's cool. It's called Slumber Party Slaughterhouse, the game.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's I guess it's got like live action stuff as well as
that's cool
other stuff. And it's like directed by a lot of different people. Like Curly even directed a segment, I guess.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and Curly. I mean, have you ever met Curly?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, he's a pretty cool guy, right?
Oh, I like him.
Yeah,
he's
one of Billy's friends too. So. Yeah.
Yep.
From, like Stink of Flesh and.
I know all that group. Because of Scott.
Scott Phillips.
Uh-huh.
And you, I think you talked about it before, but you met Scott through just Tempe, right? Like through.
No, I met him because he had seen Mulva and Filthy, and he wrote me a letter one day, and saying that he loved him and all this crazy stuff. And when he mentioned a movie that he wrote, I flipped out, because the movie that he wrote, I am a giant fan of.
Drive.
Yeah, so, and that's sort of when it started. So I've known Scott since 2002.
Wow.
And through Scott is how I met Billy and Curly, so.
Now, was it through Debbie that you met JR and Tempe, or?
Uh-huh.
Because
wow. Debbie was on the Full Moon shoot for Dead and Rotting, and she took a copy of Mulva around the set and sort of just kept passing it out to everybody, to crew members and stuff, and it finally got to JR, and that's where it all began.
Really cool. Yeah, and you've also, as far as we're talking about different people, you met through different people or whatever, but the fact that you got to talk to Trey Parker and Matt Stone, right?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was before all of this actually started, right? That was
That was right before we shot Anal Paprika.
And you sent him some of your older, like, movies?
Yeah.
Like, did you send him, like, was it From Almost Night to Almost Day? Or
Yep.
And all that stuff?
They saw all the early stuff, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's really cool, you know? They were, like, one of the first celebrities to really kind of, like, you know?
Yeah, they definitely were the first people to show support and really, you know, really push the... You know, the keep doing it thing, and you know, they're the ones who got Troma involved with us, and us involved with them. So.
Right. Yeah. Because the Mulva. Right.
Well, it was before that.
Oh, it must have been Anal Paprika too.
Yeah.
Because that was when you had Lloyd for the first time play your guy's dad, which was always funny to see. You know. Which I thought it was hilarious to have him back in Anal Paprika 3, too, so.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, just the fact that, you know, and I was always kind of bummed out about it, you know, I think, I don't know if IMDb still says it, but at one point it still said that, and I think it does, I just don't think it's been corrected yet, you know, but I know that at one point IMDb listed Louis Coffin as Lang in, Quest for the Egg Salad, because he was supposed to play Gandolfini.
Yeah.
You know, which I think would have been hilarious, but, you know, it became Bone Jack anyway, which still worked, you know?
Indeed.
And just Bone Jack became kind of a different character then, right?
Well, I mean, because of Mulva and because of Filthy McNasty, I think people started really liking Bone Jack, and it, you know, figured what the hell. It made total sense to throw him in there as the wizard, so.
Yeah, and he was, you know, it was a really good character, so. Now, did you get any? Have you ever gotten any flack from anybody, like any, like people that aren't fans or whatever, that say that they didn't like the Bone Jack character or didn't like what you were doing with the Bone Jack character?
No. I mean, really, it was only like early on. You know, I would get letters about being a racist and all that stuff. And I'm like, what? It just, whatever. I mean, it didn't last long. I mean, I got just as many, like, emails saying that I hated Teenate because he was a misogynistic pig and all this stuff. And I mean, it's people that just don't get it, you know? I just, which is fine, whatever. It's, you're going to deal with shit like that. Just like you're going to deal with the people who hate your movies, and through your movies, they hate you as a person as well, even though they don't know you. So,
yeah, exactly. Like,
you know,
you're going to get flack from anybody.
Whatever you put out there, you're just going to, you know, whether it be good news or bad news, you just got to deal with it. And, you know, we have both. We have the people who love us and the people who hate us, and nothing you can do about it, and you just move on. Just live your life.
Exactly. And, I mean, do you ever get at, like, conventions, people kind of, like, you know, that just don't get what you're doing, or they get what you're doing but they don't like it, or?
We've never really had any issues at conventions. I mean, there's people who sort of like, after they like sort of hear the spiel and see what we're all about, then they sort of like give you a weird face and walk away. But I mean, the majority, like, it's always a place where we get to meet our fans, and that's always great, and it's been awesome, and, you know, it's, you know, no one's ever really rightly come out and said, we hate you, you know?
That's good.
Yeah, but,
you don't
but
want
if
that.
They do, what can you do? Okay, sorry that you don't like it, you know?
Yeah, definitely tell them, you know, tell them to not watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, like, that's what I don't get. I don't get people that post on, like post these nasty reviews of people's movies, you know, or whatever, you know.
They want attention, and they want, you know, they feel bigger than they are when they do it, and, you know.
I can understand
it serves
if it's honest
no
criticism,
purpose.
But most of the time it's just nastiness, you know.
Yeah, I know. But whatever, you just laugh at it. I laugh at it. I usually just laugh at it. I think it's ridiculous. Someone's taken their time to talk about Teen Ape Goes to Camp.
Which I thought was always cool, because I always wanted to see Teen Ape as a pirate, so.
Well,
you know,
I'm not saying about the movie, I'm saying the title. These people
yeah.
know, they should know what they're getting into. And I think they
exactly.
do. And they just love to tear into it, regardless, you know, like, so.
You know,
I
like,
they think
they're going to get into something really serious and, you know,
well,
or
don't
whatever.
Pick up a movie called, you know, Blood Fart Lake if you don't know what you're about to get into. Like, you're a moron for picking it up and thinking you're going to get something else.
And, well, I guess, you know, since we're, we got about 20 minutes left of the show. I wanted to, I guess, talk about some of the new the stuff that's coming up soon for you, so we can plug that stuff. But you got Night Species coming up, which is your new movie.
Yeah.
I don't. You don't have to say too much into it. Just, you know, let people know that that's, I guess, the one that's next on your table.
Well, the one we're actually going to do next is an anthology movie.
Like
that's
shorts
coming
or
before
something.
Night Species.
Is that the one you're doing in October?
Yeah.
Okay.
We had to push Night Species back because of budget.
Oh.
But
now, was
still
that something
do
that Tempe had like discussed with you originally? Or?
Yeah, but the title was tentative, so. This anthology movie we're going to do for them instead, which they're fine with.
Now, is it an anthology that you're just directing, or do you have other people that
No,
are...
it's just us. It's just LDP.
Okay.
It's called Spooky Shit.
Now, is that going to get changed?
I'm sure. I would like I'd like it to go out like that, but with like the eye replaced with like a squiggly, you know, some sort of, you know how they always like cover up the swear words on shit. They always put squiggly shit. But I would like that. But I mean, that's what we're calling it. And it's like our little creep show, you know, it's our little, it's like a fun little Halloween anthology movie, and there's three stories in it with a wraparound host.
No.
We've never done it, so why the fuck not do it? So.
Right. And are you excited about that? Like, is it?
Yeah. I'm excited because it's around Halloween. I always like shooting movies around that time, and the subject matter of the shorts are very Halloween-y, you know. So.
Oh wow.
It
so it's three
fun.
Shorts, I'm guessing probably 20 to 30 minutes long, or?
Yeah, we're going to do like, I think we're going to do about three 20, 25-minute shorts with like, you know, a combined like 15 minutes of wraparound stuff, you know?
And I guess each one's going to be about a day, like each day you do.
Yeah, we're only doing a three-day shoot like normal, you know? One of the days, actually the night before, we're all going to the Full Moon Road Show, and I'm going to get like a little cameo.
Oh, wow.
In there with the big man.
The big man, yeah, I'm supposed to be interviewing him soon, so.
He's awesome, I love that guy, I love
yeah,
him.
Yeah, his PR people are the nicest people I've ever talked to, so. One of the nicest, I'm sorry. You know, I can't say that because I have had some really cool, like, public relations people that have talked to me that I'm like, I love them more than managers or whatever because, you know, dealing with them for the show, you know? So, like, there are people, you know, contacting me after I, like, try to contact them, and they said, we're supposed to get a radio interview with him soon, and then I'm going to be hopefully interviewing him live at the Full Moon Road Show, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, not live, but, you know, in person, you know?
Yeah, I've met him at a convention, and he's a really just awesome dude. And
did you talk to him about Hell Asylum and the fact that he knows that you're...
No, he already knows who I am, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, we've corresponded. He knows the connection and all that stuff. I mean, I think that's the only way I'm getting this, you know, cameo.
Oh, cool.
So.
But I guess you're you've been a fan of Full Moon for a while too. So.
Oh yes.
And I remember, I think I told you about the Albert Pune show that I was going to have, and I think you missed it that night or whatever.
I did, and I flipped out. I wanted to be there for the Leslie Easterbrook one, too.
Damn.
Because I love Police Academy. Like, 1 through 4 is gold to me. So.
Well, and if you, I don't know if you caught the archives or whatever, but...
No, I will listen to it.
When you do, just know Police Academy is main, like, thing. I think we barely talked about horror as much as we talked about Police Academy.
Yeah.
There's a huge, like, thing, you know, amount of knowledge that she had on that, you know, on that series that I thought was just amazing, you know? So, it was really cool because, you know, I mean, it's great to hear all the Rob Zombie stuff and, you know, things like that, but I grew up on Police Academy just as much as you did, you know? That was my series. I had them all on Betamax, except for 7. Because by that time, Betamax was dead when 7 came out. So, but I remember even having, like, Police Academy 6, like, City Under Siege, and just flat out watching them, like, every day with my friends and stuff. So I used to even play, like, Police Academy with my friends. So, like, we were pretending to be those characters, you know? I don't know if you ever did that.
No.
No,
but I did love Police Academy, and I mean, I had the toys from the cartoon and everything. And
yeah, the toys. They had, I didn't even know they had toys.
Yeah, I think I still have the Zed toy somewhere.
Zed.
And when you touch a button, did he talk? No, when you touch a button on his back, his shorts fell down.
Well, it would have been cool to hear Bobcat Goldthwait's voice, but, you know, what can you do? It was really funny seeing him now, you know, because he just, it's not Bobcat Goldthwait anymore.
No, I know. He's just, yeah, he's a pretty good director now, and he's just chilling, just being him. I mean, it was a weird shtick to do back then, the whole Bobcat thing. It was a very odd shtick. I mean, to come out as a comedian, like, basically being this weird retard dude. But then, like, you know, he was just a normal guy, and he just did this weird shit. Funny, you know? I mean, it's definitely funny.
Yeah. I mean, I was always a fan of his, and I used to be able to do his voice, but not so much anymore. You know? My friends were always like, oh, my God, you actually can do his voice, but I don't know. I guess once my voice changed from being a little kid to, you know,
yeah,
I lost it. But no, and you know, it's great. I mean, and I remember you talk about the Cassie Steele show, and you wanted to call up and talk to her. So
I was waiting. I was on the line.
I felt so bad. I did. So, but you know, if we ever get her back on, I'll have you co-host.
Oh, my God.
We'll have you do that. But I don't know when we'll have her back on because it's kind of a, you know, we kind of said everything we needed to really do on that show. I don't know. But she was a really cool chick to just talk to. And
yeah, she sounded it.
Yeah, and like a lot of people are, you know, like I'm realizing that you know, that this show kind of brings out a lot more people that, you know, once the fans call in and start talking to them, they're like, holy crap, you know, because they don't get that chance, usually, you know?
Yeah.
And thank God nobody, like, creepy or anything would call in, you know? But I did have one for one show, and I'm not going to mention that show exactly, but I did have one person that just kind of, like, I had to, like, kick him off because he just was kind of, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's great, you know. I'm nice about it, you know. I'm not rude, but I don't just like kick them off. But you know, I don't. You know, there's a thin line right there, you know, that a lot of people cross. But anyway, so you have your anthology series coming out, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, we're gonna do that movie in October.
Late October, right? Like October 21st, you said?
Yeah. Well, the 21st is the road show, and then we're going to start shooting the next day. So.
Oh, wow. So, that's pretty cool. And where's the road show at? Buffalo, or?
Yep, Buffalo. It's
nice.
It's an hour away from us, so.
Well, that's awesome that you can go and shoot a thing there. I guess you got their permission and everything, or
yeah,
you know, you talked to. Did you talk to the big man himself about it, or?
Yeah, through MySpace actually.
Oh wow, cool. See, a useful tool, huh?
Yeah.
You
well, know? For I mean, you know, that's why I still have it because, you know, LBP stuff still gets promoted through there. Same with Facebook, you know. I mean, it's all about promoting LVP, and, you know, I don't go on there and talk about personal shit like so many other people do. It's just it's a good tool to promote, and that's why I have them. And you never know who will talk to you, so.
And who will become a fan, or.
You just gotta try.
Well, that's really cool, I guess, you know, that you've also got a lot of, I'm sure you got a lot of celebrities that are on there, too, that. You've met through the convention circuits and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I think probably Derek Mears is on there. And
yeah.
Different people like that, so. But, you know, I think that that Facebook and MySpace is definitely a really cool tool for people to promote and to get their stuff out, as well as network, too, if they need to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I think... you know, the internet's just like that anyway, you know. And back in the day, I don't know how, like, I guess back in, like, 99 or whenever you did, when you were about to do Anal Paprika, I have no idea how you got the, Jason McHugh's address or whatever to send him the stuff, you know? Like, was it the internet, or?
Yeah, it was the internet.
Wow. See, I mean, I guess that's a really useful tool.
Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't have been able to do that back in 91.
No.
You know? And how did you hear about horror conventions, you know? Like,
well, because I was a giant Fangoria fan. Like, I subscribed to Fangoria. So, you know, there was always an ad in Fangoria.
For the Fangoria Weekend of Horrors? Or?
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, you know, 93, it was just like, let's do this, you know. I had just turned 16, and let's go. So we went, and we've been going to conventions since 1993.
Nice. And,
it's funny, they don't get old either, man. Like, you know, I still love them. I look forward to them. Like, I get giddy with excitement about them. They're just so much fun, and it's the people, it's the atmosphere, being around, like, so many people who love the same stuff that you do, and getting to see all the cool shit and buying cool shit and seeing all the sweet celebrities, some dicks, some not. It's just, I don't know, it's a fun time. It's a mini vacation. So,
well, yeah.
And we're doing a couple, you know, we're doing Dark Christmas this weekend in Warren, Ohio, at the Eastwood Expo Center. And then we're doing Horror Find Weekend in Baltimore next weekend, the 25th through the 27th. And that one we're really excited about, like super excited about, because that was one of our best conventions ever.
You're kicking me while I'm down.
So I'm so jazzed to go back to it. Then we're doing Horror Hound in Cincinnati, Ohio, November 20th through the 22nd. And that should
be you're also doing
too.
Cinema Wasteland, did you?
We are going to Cinema Wasteland. We're not going to be selling at Cinema Wasteland. That one's just sort of become a tradition to go to every twice a year. And it's going to be the first time in a very long time since.
Do you just go and not sell?
No, like I said, now we go to Wasteland just to go. Because it's become like a tradition, and we have so many like friends there, and people that are like our Wasteland family. But it's going to be the first time in a very long time that Lauren has gone to a convention.
Oh wow, she's going for that one.
Yeah, we're taking River as well.
Oh wow, now, is that one of the reasons why you decided to, basically, is that why you decided not to sell there? Because you're
I don't sell because I stopped selling there because basically both Tempe and SRS are there.
Oh, ouch!
So it's like there's no point anymore to sell when I've got. You know, like.
Oh,
12,
they're both selling stuff on their.
Yeah, when I've got 12 movies from Tempe that he puts out and 5 movies from SRS, it's just like, what's the point of me being there? Yeah, I have a lot of movies that are just LBP, but they're all old.
Right.
All the newer stuff are through these people. And Troma's there all the time, so I couldn't really go and promote Teen Ape because they will be doing it, so.
Wow, they're going to be going out there and promoting it out there. So
we're just going to just have fun and meet, you know, old friends and just enjoy the time. And it'll be good because so many people always ask, like, when are we going to bring Lauren back? When is Lauren going to come back? When are we going to get to meet your kid and stuff like that. So we feel that it's time, and he's good, and I think he can take a 4-hour drive, and we're gonna go. So, but we'll still be there. You know, I mean, each time we've gone just to go, I still get people coming up to me, and you know, I'll sign an autograph or take a picture, or I will bring a select few DVDs for certain fans that I know that need stuff. So, it's always fun.
Yeah, and you know, sorry, I won't, once again, I won't be at a Horrifying, but as much as you said, that's the best, you know, one of the better conventions that you got.
It's just a fun time. It's a really good time, and financially, it was the best convention we've ever done. Good people. There's a lot of fans there. Like, just going to Horrifying as a fan, not selling. I mean, we had so many people come up to us and know who we were, and it was just a really welcoming time. Like the 3 or 4 times that I've gone to that convention, it's just sweet time. So we haven't been there in 3 years, so I'm so excited to go back.
Wow! So for 3 years, and now you get a chance to. What was the reason why you couldn't go the 3 years?
There's
money.
Just certain things that happened. Like we actually, tables were paid for at some of the other shows that we did for them. But we just, like one time, a family emergency happened, and just a lot of shit has kept us away. But I mean, we're ready, and we're, you know, we have a whole new like table set up, like a whole new like display, and it's gonna be a real nice show. We're gonna show off big time, and you know, fans from Baltimore haven't seen anything unless they've gotten stuff, you know, online. But you know, we have so many new movies since the last time we were there, so we have a lot to unload and show off, and you know, so we're pretty excited.
Awesome. Well, we're almost out of time, so I just want to, I guess, is there anything that you wanted to talk about that we didn't discuss?
No, I think we, you know, I think we did. We covered everything.
In 2 hours' time, you know, which is a good thing we did talk about the older stuff, because I don't know how much, you know, how much for 2 hours that we could fill in for about all the newer stuff that's coming up that, without giving any kind of spoilers away or anything like that, which I did not want to do, you know.
Yeah.
Even for my sake, you know, because I want to be surprised when I see movies, you know.
Indeed, indeed.
You know, and, you know, I'm excited to see Teen 8, just because it just sounds like it's just going to be, like, one of the biggest LBP flicks, you know, you've done.
I mean, it's, like I said, we did a lot. We did a lot of stuff for that movie. So I really hope that it turns out. I mean, I'm going to be editing it in November. So I'm anxious to finally see what the hell we did. So.
Oh, you said in November?
So. I think that's when I'm going to be able to have the time to do it. And hopefully by then I'll have a good place to edit it, you know. So
awesome! I'm really excited to see what you come up with. If anybody wants to check out the trailer for Twilight, it's out and available. I just saw it. I didn't realize it was already out.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a pretty awful
YouTube.
Trailer.
Hmm?
I didn't cut that trailer either.
Really?
Which, it sucks. It's a horrible trailer.
Really?
And I wish it wasn't out.
Then why did you put it up on your Ultimate LBP?
I don't run the Ultimate LBP page.
Oh, for real?
Nope.
Wow, I thought you did. So.
Nope.
Well, I'll still have to check it out.
A guy named Dom Luongo runs it.
Hmm. Well, that sucks that you weren't happy with the trailer, but...
What can you do?
Did Tempe really didn't do it, or
they didn't make it either. I'm not going to really go into who did it, because I'm no longer associated with the person who dealt with that whole thing. But
are you going to be redoing one, or
no? It is what it is. I mean, it's going to get rented and bought on the strength of what it is. It's clearly a spoof of Twilight, you know. So
awesome. Well, it's just about to end, so live. So
all right. Well, you know, thanks for having me on, and it was good to talk. And people can check us out on lowbudgetpictures.net or lowbudgetpictures on MySpace. And Low Budget Pictures on Facebook. And then we have the Ultimate LBP YouTube page. Or come out to the conventions. Keep supporting truly, truly, truly low-budget independent cinema. Because we need it.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Chris. You're always a pleasure, and I always have you come on all the time, so we'll try to get you on again, maybe
really
later this year, you know.
Really sucks that you're not coming next weekend.
Oh, man, stop it. I really want
to. You need to grow some balls and drive the 6 hours and hang out with the LBP gang. Anyway.
If I could get, like, $50 extra or whatever, I need a little bit more than that just to kind of buy shit there.
Yeah.
But if I get some extra money, man, maybe. If I can also get the time off from work. Because I work weekends, you know, that's the worst part.
I dig.
About it all. What?
I dig. It just would have been cool. Would have been cool for sure.
It would have been definitely cool, and it would have been cool to chill with you guys in your, you know, crib and everything, in your place. So, you know, everything. Your palatial room.
Yeah.
But no, if I can't, you know, we'll definitely try to do something. I'll try to go to one of the conventions that you're at just so we can chill, you know, and do some, like, little videos or some shit, you know. Some goofy-ass shit to put on my YouTube, you know. Definitely. And thank you so much. And glad that you support this stuff too, as well as us support you. So, you know.
All right, man.
All right. Well, have a good one, dude. And enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Okay, man. I will talk to you and enjoy the genitals of the night.
I definitely. You too, man.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, everybody, that was Chris Seaver. Thank you all for listening. Hope you guys had a good time. I know I did. I always enjoy having Chris on. You can check him out at lowbudgetpictures.net. You can check him out at the Ultimate LBP YouTube site, Facebook, MySpace, everything that he promoted, as well as check out his movies, you know, check out what he's been up to, so... go to the horror conventions that he said he was at. If you're going there, say hello to Chris at the tables and stuff. And thank you so much, and have a good night. Bye-bye.